Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live with a repeat guest. Alexander Philippe is back because last time we were talking about his artwork and how he came to that. And actually, after we stopped taping, there was a conversation that was so exciting that I wanted him to come back and talk about that. And that is his actual game of Eiffel, which, if you recall, is life spelled backwards. And I'm just going to go to you. Let's talk about this. What is your goal? I see this gorgeous, almost like a quilt of squares, mm-hmm. and each thing has something else written on it. And when I saw what they were, I was so taken by the depth of it. What's your goal here?
Well, the goal is pretty much, well, firstly, it's a game. My overall goal is for everyone mm-hmm. that can read mm-hmm. Would play it.
But I got the feeling, talking to mm-hmm. you last time, mm-hmm. that somehow the undertone mm-hmm. of your artistic goal is to get people to talk about real things.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. So let's take it like in that direction, because this is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No more small talk with one of these in the house.
No more. Yeah, so basically it's the game of Eiffel. It's comprised of 100... 69.
Eiffel being life backwards, people,
yes.
We forgot to say.
Yes, Eiffel.
Yes.
It's
E-F-I-L.
Comprised E-F-I-L. It's comprised of 169 different tiles, but each tile is a different, either a question regarding existence or a life experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the goal is to reach eternal recurrence. If any one of you reads Nietzsche, it's about, you know, repeating this day-to-day things. And whatever
sounds
happens,
like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, yeah. But whatever you choose, you will repeat it. So
no disrespect to Nietzsche, yes.
No, okay. No. I love Groundhog Day, by the way, too. Eternal recurrence is uh-huh. the idea of when their life will repeat the same tragedy and the same triumphs that you've experienced will repeat every day for eternity.
Unless so, you what?
Unless you... That's why you choose wisely, because so you don't regret anything, because if you're going to live it again, then you will, you know, find comfort and acceptance of what you chose in life.
Uh-huh.
So, and then basically the...
Well, can we talk about some of these squares?
Sure, yeah.
Because this is... I'm stammering here. I was so surprised. I pictured something different.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's beautiful looking.
Oh,
and you've got like, what is that symbol there? That squares within squares.
It's called the Tile of Nausea. It's inspired by Jean-Paul Sartre's mm-hmm. Book Nausea.
Uh-huh.
That when you land on the Tile of Nausea, that's where you say to yourself, I am here existing.
Uh-huh.
Because not a lot of people say that to themselves. You know, do you feel nausea? That, mm-hmm. oh my God, I'm actually alive.
Oh, that's the truth.
Yeah, because it happens to all of us. But sometimes it's so scary because you realize, you know, that you will die, or you're actually in the moment. So I put that in there. And then, as you can see, this
one. The white circle and the black square.
Yeah, it's called...
and it's a large white circle that fills almost the whole field of that square.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It's called the Tile of Introspection. Because
mm-hmm.
If you land there, basically, you're surrounded... The whole board game is surrounded by life experiences,
mm-hmm.
you know, from beautiful to really tragic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you land there, that's one of the moments in life, quote-unquote, where you can actually ponder on all the things that you've walked on or experienced.
Uh-huh, like a wild card.
Yeah, sometimes you need that to reflect on the things that you do.
Okay, just to finish the board here of the non-written thing, what is that? East-west, but it's not, it's got different letters.
Instead of, you know, north,
compass points.
Yeah, it's fate, F-A-T-E.
Oh, F-A-T-E, yes.
So it's, you can go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Because at the board game, you can either start here, it says, I am here.
Yes.
You can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. No.
So what determines where you go? Do you do one step at a time?
Yeah, one step at a time. You can go left or right or forward, but no going backwards.
Just like life?
Yeah, let's life. Because basically the whole board game or the game of Eiffel is it's a representation of life.
It's kind of interesting. Although you, in your board game and in fact in life, you cannot go backwards.
Yes.
The name of your game is Life Backwards.
Yes. It's inspired by the quote. Like I said before, it's inspired by Kierkegaard's quote,
uh-huh.
life should be lived forwards but understood backwards.
Okay, thank you for repeating that.
Thank you.
Yes.
And lastly, in the edge of the board game, there's the black tiles with nothing on it. It's
And two of them right in the middle.
Yeah. The ones on the edges are called, you know, nothingness tiles, because in the edge of life, there is nothing. So, and you're really there. Mm-hmm. And then when you land there, it's either you can still continue playing the game or you can just leave.
But what about the two black ones in the middle?
It's just the same thing.
Okay.
It's because sometimes it's overwhelming with all, you know, this thing that's happening to your life. Yeah.
Can we make, can you, let's talk about a few of these, because these are, I love, oh my goodness. I mean, I love some of them. Some of them are really scary.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. People to confront the things that we don't want to admit.
Okay. So let's talk about those, because those are just exceptionally wonderful. I want you to go back. I see one here. I regret having an abortion.
Yeah.
So if you land on that,
and then if you actually had,
you're supposed to say something about these things.
No. Well, you read it. So everything is happening in your mind. So, and that's a form of introspection.
Yes. Okay. So it's just for you.
Yeah. It's
for you. But you can share if you want.
Yes. It's more. It's a one-player game because in life, it's a subjective point of view. Because the whole board, the game of Apple started as a, you regret having an abortion, started with a you, but I realized it was more, it's more powerful if I put I and start, you know, with actually
admitting. This is all first person, so taking responsibility for your own reactions
exactly.
and feelings.
So every player will have a unique experience in the game.
Yes.
And then even if you grow older, 30 years later, you play the game, you will play a different game because the game is still the same, but you've changed as a person.
But I see this even as being really wonderful to play with people, almost like a truth or dare of old days.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But
so that if you want to share something and get like an icebreaker.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty profound icebreaker. But here's one that says, love gives me strength. Here's one that says, I cannot keep a secret. Most people wouldn't admit to that.
Yeah, but that's why it needs to be just within themselves. So when you finish the board game, for the first time in your life, you will admit something that is true.
Ooh, I lost it.
Oh, that's
sorry.
Totally,
I had it in front of me. That's why okay. There it is. Okay.
There you go.
So, what are some of the? My miscarriage put me in depression. I execute my decision making skills in the mundane than in real human endeavors.
It's true. Right? So most people are like that.
Yes.
They spend time, you know, having to decide which, you know, toothpaste that you want to buy, but when it comes to actual life-changing you know, decisions,
because because I think on those life-changing decisions or even world decisions, you see our politicians do that. They're overwhelmed with things that are pretty unsolvable, and so they'll focus on something that is hopefully solvable. Something small. I mean, we can control the small, and so we can feel empowered.
Yeah, and then,
I don't know.
I agree, because most of the time they want something that is quantifiable as opposed to qualitative things in life, because you focus on stuff that doesn't really matter, but it has this illusion that it is necessary because it's always bombarded to us. So if everyone thinks that it is true, then I suppose it's true. That's the whole mentality.
Every one of these is delicious. I'm just going to read some because I'm
in
love with this whole board. Okay.
Sure.
I am my mistakes.
Yeah. So you become responsible to whatever.
I blame others for my misfortune.
Which is true because a lot of people are like that.
Yes. I was actually raised, when I was a girl, I was actually taught that that was a so taboo that you could never do that. That was a real crime in my upbringing. I have too many excuses. That's kind of related to I blame others for my misfortune.
Yeah.
What are your favorites here? That's a dumb question, really.
Oh,
but do you have some that speak to you more than others?
That's a good one. You know, I've read this so many times for almost a year and a half. Well, to give you a context. So when I was making this, when I was living in, or should I say surviving in New York City, I recently just found out why I was changed as a person. Because when I was creating this, I was writing it post-it notes, square ones. I'll show you a photo.
This is why we need a television moment so we can show. Okay.
So, and then, you know, I was writing it on, it started like this, to be honest,
my wall. Oh, different color post-its.
And then when I was writing, I am lonely, I am I had an abortion or something, that even though I didn't, I felt like I became part of the world, because even though I didn't experience so many things, that I felt, you know, how devastating it would be.
Oh, so I was going to ask you about that, because obviously you have not had an abortion, physically impossible as that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So how did you, you just decided to put yourself in an empathetic...
Well, I guess it just happens naturally, I guess, because when you're obsessed with humanities, your poetry, art and stuff, because I really believe as an artist is that it's important to struggle. And when you love what you do, art making is the most shamanistic and the most spiritual thing that you could ever do. Because it's,
well,
and
if
it's
that's
spiritual,
the way of, if that's your way of speaking,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Yeah. But,
yes.
That, you know, Kijame of Ethel just came to me.
So, well, I want to ask you about that. It's, I'm gathering from what you say, important to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about that?
Sure. Context.
Can you talk about that?
Sure. Absolutely. In 2012, I moved to New York City. I guess I could say I was different. I was so gung-ho. I was so hungry to move there because that's, you know, I've always wanted to live there and try. Because some of my heroes, you know, they live there and they're working artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd try it out. So I did. But gradually, you know, when you live there, you see it's really different. Especially when you have different value systems, you know, than other people. And I had a fine art degree, but the world is so changed now that I couldn't find a job that would sustain.
Oh, and you know, what defines art changes over time. I mean, poetry is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, just you know, it's more tech-based now.
Mm-hmm.
So they have nothing to do with me because I only have a fine art painting degree.
Oh.
No matter how good a painter I am, let's say, they're not going to hire me because, hey, you don't know all these tech stuff, you know, which is fine. So I did eventually found two jobs, but that was just enough to pay for my rent. So I was literally, for the first time in my life, I wasn't broke. I was in poverty.
Mm.
I was, you know, I couldn't afford to go anywhere. So what does an artist do when you literally have nothing except for a few, you know, dollars to get like the cheapest food? You create something because that is you, that is within you, and it's your duty as an artist to express whatever, you know, because I always believe that being an artist, it's always political because you're, you know, you're part of society, and whatever happens to you and the context around you, it shapes you.
So that is what real art is to you rather than something decorative.
Yes.
Which I also find really valuable, of course.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, I just wish a lot of artists make decorative, you'd be beautiful, but it means more. But sometimes beauty is so deceptive that no matter how much meaning you put into your art, if it's beautiful, people are just so taken aback. Oh, it's just beautiful. And then they leave.
Uh-huh.
They don't take anything.
Well, this is definitely just drags you right in.
Yeah. I need to make it a little poppy so it's more accessible.
It's gorgeous. I mean, the colors are fabulous.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just, you can't help. Every one of those squares. I just saw one up here. Okay, I am a racist.
Yeah.
Money is all I want. I like animals more than people. I'm with someone just for sex.
Mm-hmm.
These are, you know, you'd have to just, some of these would define everybody. I mean, you could always pick a couple. Ooh, what is this one? Does life need?
I'll show you.
There's a purple square with some letters, and it's a little mysterious looking. It's, go ahead.
Does life need a question mark, B, an exclamation point, C, comma, D,
so,
period.
So C, a comma, in other words, something descriptive is coming.
Yeah, your ellipsis.
D, a period, uh-huh.
Yeah, so I thought when I was, that was one of the first tiles because I don't know that there was something like a symbol, but it meant more, like, I felt like the question mark meant, does life need to be questioned?
Yes.
Or exclamation point, does it need to be exciting or loud, you know?
These are great.
Thank you.
Every one of them. What's the percentage sign indicate?
oh, you know, you're more about
ratio of equality.
Or this one is more like you're looking for someone.
Well, the ampersand. I can see that. But now, what about the pound sign? What would that indicate?
The pound sign? That one?
No, that's the at sign. That's the pound sign.
Well, that one, I kind of forgot.
Okay. Just,
I'm sure there was a. Yes. It meant something like 2 years ago.
Well, you know, often the pound sign in modern life on a keyboard is an indication of. You know, you want some action, like press pound for,
I don't know. That's a good one.
Okay, or so that's like so phone. That's my personal. Mm. So everybody might have a different, press pound if correct, you know, if yes. Okay, press one if. Okay, I married the wrong person, ouch. I have cheated more. These are all ouch.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
oh, except for this one is, I am not honest with myself, true or false. Mm-hmm. So that could be an ouch or a not.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole goal, is to make people really, you know, be aware or conscious about their
Yes, I lie all the time.
Yeah.
That's probably pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
I pretend to be intelligent.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch. And double ouch. I know people who do that.
Yeah, I know. Me too. It's like some of them, they buy books, but they don't read it. It's just, they just want to be perceived.
I have a few on my thing. But yes,
That's a good one.
Yes. Oh, that's a nice one.
Yeah.
I'm secretly in love with my friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's a good
press pound if you continue to go. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I don't mean what I say most of the time.
Because most people are like automatic, you know, they have this script already.
Well, that's what this deletes.
Yeah.
A script.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, this is just a fabulous party game. Like, instead of charades at a party.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care for small talk myself.
It's more charade, though.
But it, you know what? It isn't more cerebral. Mm-hmm. It's just more honest. I mean, it just digs deeper.
Yeah. That's my labor of love in my struggle. So
What's that?
Like, the game of Ethel, in a way, I could honestly say that it did save me. Because without the art that I did, I don't know how I could have, you know, lived and survived in New York City. Because I, you know, you have nothing. What do you do?
Well, I'm guessing that even if you were a very rich man, you would be doing this.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess I needed
Maybe
to go.
Not.
Well, I needed to go struggle because I really believed that. Because, you know, I've never been, you know, I was broke before. But when I found out, wow, oh, my God, I could, my dream living here could end any moment because I have nothing. I could be fired. I could be evicted.
Okay, so wait a second. So let's talk about I have nothing.
Mm.
You're young.
Yeah.
You're talented.
Yeah.
You know what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to stick to a project. You're cute looking. What is you have nothing?
Well, when I meant I have nothing, nothing meant when I was living.
Materially.
Because I needed to pay basically money. You know, I will do the art for the rest of my life because that is an extension of who I am. When I find myself not doing art, that means I gave up on myself. Because I became part of the world. I understood people.
But these are just, I mean, each one of these would put you on the map. Here's one, and it's sideways. It says, I blame my kids for not following my own dream.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how many parents do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They blame their kids all the time because they're frustrated with their own dream.
Because parents sometimes see their kids as... I mean, that whole mini-me business,
yeah,
you know, is I get a chance now to do that.
I get irritated because a lot of young parents, they don't live life, you know, basically just go work, work, work. But when they have kids, they don't know anything about wisdom. What are you going to give to your kid when they grow up except for just work and do whatever you want. It's just they don't have enough responsibility towards their kids, you know?
So about struggling, I turned on the TV the other day and I saw, I don't know, there was some movie that I was kind of flicking past channels to see if I could find something as background while I'm working.
Sure.
I like the TV going as like a hearth, like a nice blue glow in the room.
Sure.
And there was a movie, apparently, I didn't watch more than a couple of minutes, and it was about a girl, a teenage girl, whose school assignment was to write about the biggest struggle she had in life.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very angry at her parents because she had had no struggle.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Wow, that's a good concept.
Well, except that the obvious, then that is a struggle.
I see what you mean.
You know, so they didn't touch on that, which your panorama here would have.
Mm-hmm.
at a deeper level. So what the mother did is she took her up into the mountains, said, come on, let's go for a ride, and took her up into the mountains and dumped her off at the top of some godforsaken place and said, just get out of the car for a minute. And when the daughter did, the mother sped off saying, okay, here's a struggle. I hope you find your way. Now, you know, when she finds that daughter's body in a ditch, that's a horrible thing to do.
Yeah. Totally.
Instead of saying, you're having a struggle, go figure out what it is in your perfect life.
Yeah. Or, you know, be a, be the plot device in your own grand narrative.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. It's more back to Ethel.
Back to Ethel. Well, that was part of the whole struggle business.
Yeah.
Like, that even if you, everybody can have one.
Yes, definitely.
And if you look deeply, if you look at any of these things, even if life is ostensibly perfect, you look at these things and see that, you said there are 100 of these?
169.
Okay, I would bet that most people could look at this and find 100 they could relate to.
Yeah. And then after you play, you become empathetic to other people because they have walked the life experience that you have walked. So that's the goal. That's the goal of Ethel.
That's the goal. Okay.
Yeah. So
I hope this... it's the stores.
I hope so too.
Great.
Yeah, I would like to thank you again for referring me to Abby Carpets.
It also, I hope that.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm just thinking that even for different age groups, like, could you envision one of these for children that doesn't have things that are quite so jarring and that children wouldn't have experienced yet, like an abortion or, I don't know, can you picture this for all different age groups?
Definitely, definitely. This one, I just, you know, pictured it more into the adults because adults have more power to change the world or they have more responsibility as people. Because kids, you know, we should, I believe that they should make mistakes, but not too grand a mistake that they would, you know, to endanger their lives.
Well, mistakes can be our greatest teachers and
exactly.
friends. Whenever, and when I was growing up, my mother used to say, if you made a mistake, she'd say, oh, just consider it another semester at Harvard. Which was great.
So, yeah.
I mean,
this one's a good one.
Read that one, please.
The person I'm in love with loves someone else.
Oh.
Ouchie.
Ouch, yes. Gosh.
I know, right?
I could just fall into this.
And this one's a good one.
What?
I see injustice, but I turn away from it. So.
Yes. I am lonely. My father abused me. Okay. I act like I don't care.
Yeah, like apathetic towards other people. Or
I feel old age creeping. Now, you don't feel that yet.
No, no.
Right. Well,
but I know that it happens to other people.
Yes.
So.
Oh, you definitely see it. My irresponsibility affects everyone. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
And I hope this is just a real conversation starter. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so hopefully soon, you know, I'm working a lot to make this board game come alive, and hopefully it would travel to every city or every major city. But the end goal is to, you know, translate it in different languages. And, you know, travel the world because, you know, the human condition doesn't have any...
But we were talking also about squares in urban areas. Like, even four of these on a sidewalk.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, that people could just stand on and have a private thought in the middle of urban chaos.
Yeah. Well, the original idea was to find, like, a chapel. You know, because I was inspired by Grace Cathedral, the labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you go there, it's so quiet and you can actually ponder about life. Then, I guess I was inspired by that. That's why I made the board game, The Game of Ethel. So, it's more like a labyrinth, but more about life.
So, it could be either small or it could be large. For people to stand on it.
Yeah, it should be. I measured it. The tile is 18 inches by 18 inches because I think that's ideal for people. You know, they can still read it because if I go smaller, the text might be.
But also, how is standing on it different than pointing at? I'm having a great time pointing at it, but standing on it, you become kind of one with that thought in a different way.
Yeah, because the whole board game is a simulacrum of life, so you have to walk on it. Because that's what we do in life. Mm-hmm. So, and then before you play the game, you actually have an instruction how to play the game, which is basically telling you that there is no going back. You only can go forward, left, and right. And then you have to choose. Because remember, to not choose is still a choice. So, after you play the game, you still have the instruction, which basically is an instruction how to live a decent life.
Yes.
So, even if you stop playing the game, you have another game, which is your actual life.
It's also permission, it seems to me, mm-hmm. to be any of these things.
Yes.
And accept it as part of yourself that either you can accept or you can change. I mean, yeah. It's kind of a self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No great crime is on here.
No.
Right? You have not been an axe murderer or ruined somebody's pension fund.
But there are parts of me that's there.
Sure.
Yeah, because I have to. When you're an artist, you have to at least reveal, you know, parts of you in your art, you know?
Right, but I'm saying as far as the public is concerned, as the general population.
No, axe murderer.
You won't stand on this and then find yourself in court of law.
No.
Only your own.
Yes, because it happens in your mind.
Yes.
So, you're okay. Cool. So after, let's just say you have friends, let's go play the game of Ethel afterwards. You know, it's either when you're really affected, I imagine this person would be really quiet and contemplative.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or they can still lie, whatever, you know.
Another choice.
And like, yeah, did you walk on that tile? That was awesome, you know.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. But I brought this up to myself, so I'm responsible to if people will send me hate mail. I hated your art because I felt something that I, you know, didn't want to feel.
I
was misled that I thought this was supposed to be a happy game. But hey,
I can't see that it isn't a happy game.
People.
But recognize depths of self that they were maybe afraid to touch.
Yeah.
And now they're actually,
because all I want as an artist is for people to be brave and within, if it's not in real life, in the context of art. That's why I made the art installation. Yes. At least in art, we can be brave because that's what art should do.
Thank you
inspire people.
Just coming to share this. So only because I'm about love letters and I always end up saying, who gets your love letter today?
Sure.
We talked about it last time.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, I think it's wonderful for artists and musicians and people who are kind of in public life
mm-hmm.
and are doing something border breaking mm-hmm. to write love letters to self
mm-hmm.
and just say, you know, whatever it is and just keep it because someday, I mean, I shouldn't be the love letter police. We should write to whoever you want to and do it lots. Mm-hmm. But that's just also a possibility
mm-hmm.
to leave a trail of how this came about. Won't that be exciting to find in 200 years?
That's true, yeah.
You know, wouldn't you like to find a letter to self from people who invented kind of life-changing things?
That's true, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do this.
The world, as you know, is open to you.
Mm-hmm.
As in some of those
possibilities.
Yes. Thank you very much. I hope to see this because I will buy several of these for gifts and
thank you.
For myself. Thank you, dear.
Thanks.
So until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
I just feel like I have so much more to do here, but
okay.
I don't. Yes. And just remember that if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, this is kind of every occasion is possible to write a love letter.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I mean, I can see sending these to your friends as gifts mm-hmm. with a handwritten note on the back of the board, you know, a love letter from you to whoever is, to some of the people who are, because these things are things you might write in a love letter.
Mm-hmm.
Confessions.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. And goodbye. And this time I mean it.
Bye.